You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 8. Today we're talking about how laughter is the best medicine and how you can induce laughter to reduce stress even at the most difficult times. Now I hope that during the summer holidays all of your family are having a more relaxed, chilled out and fun-filled time with lots and lots of laughter. But this episode is incredibly useful because when times do get stressful, when there are exams and that kind of thing going on in your house, it's great to have a way to induce that kind of lightheartedness, to lift the whole family's mood and just reduce the stress somewhat. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Do you ever feel like life is just a bit too serious? I know I do. What with so much pressure to do well at school, so many exams, and the pressures of constantly being attached to social media, as well as all the usual angsty teen stuff, life for teens is harder than I think it's ever been before. I know I feel like this, and my coaching clients have also been known to say to me, I just feel like there isn't enough fun or laughter in my life. That's why I've invited today's guest onto the School Success Formula. She runs laughter workshops where she shows people how to lighten their mood and reduce stress through real or fake laughter. Welcome to the show, Katie Rose White.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you here. Thank you so much for being on the show. So Katie, can you first tell me, have you always been a bundle of laughs?
I'm quite a giggly character, yeah. I suppose I was the kind of the joker with my friends, but I suppose so. I obviously have had quite difficult times like everybody, and mm-hmm. Laughter has really helped me with that, so I suppose that's why I'm teaching it, because I really believe it and I'm really passionate about it.
Okay, so tell us a bit more about how you came to be teaching the world to laugh. Like, when you say about those difficult times, like, what brought you to this point in your life now where you're doing what you do?
So I was quite interested in how we play, and how as we kind of grow up, we lose our ability to kind of be imaginative and maybe kind of really let go and make a fool of ourselves, really. Mm-hmm. And why that stops, and why we kind of get more serious. And so I was intrigued as to kind of whether or not I could get people together just to play for playing's sake, because it's really good for you. So I did a arts degree, mm-hmm. and I was kind of getting people together and kind of doing little experiments. But I hadn't heard about laughter yoga then. And so I kind of just came out of uni and was kind of very inspired, but not really sure what direction I was going into. And I was really interested in kind of the health benefits of playing, and that's what drew me to the laughing yoga. And I did my first workshop at a happiness festival, which had lots
of... Wow, where was that held?
That was at Dartington College, mm-hmm. a little while ago now, and I volunteered. And they had lots of kind of lectures and lots of different workshops that were going on, and it was all based around kind of happiness. Mm-hmm. And the laughing yoga was one of the workshops, and I did it, and I just knew that that's exactly what I wanted to do. You get into a big group of people and you start playing, and I thought, well, yeah, I want to do this.
I think it's fascinating what you're talking about play. I read a book a while back now. It's called Essentialism, and it's about kind of really reducing your life down to like what you absolutely have to do to live a fulfilling life, but also to really focus on the things that are important. And one of the first chapters in the book was about the importance of play and how so many of us have lost it from our lives. And I must say, I feel a bit like that sometimes, because like I I'm quite a driven and serious person. And I think some of my clients, like I said in the introduction, they feel like when they're working towards exams and they've got big dreams, they just don't have the space in their life for play. So you said you went into an arts degree. Was it part of the attraction of that, just that chance to play and experiment and imagine?
Definitely. But then, you know, we can't necessarily be playful all the time, but part of my job is to encourage people to use laughter when they least feel like it. So I do a class whereby we kind of come up with a kind of a blip in our lives, like we burnt our toast or something, and then we introduce ourselves and we kind of say, I burnt my toast this morning, like it was the most exciting thing ever. So we're really celebrating those little blips, and it's choosing to react in a playful way when something is stressing you out. So, you know, with exams especially, you have all of this revision, and if you can kind of almost force yourself to I'm going home and I'm going to do some revision and be excited about it.
Yeah,
it changes your body chemistry. So it makes you excited. It it changes the way you're feeling, definitely.
That's really interesting, because one of the questions I was going to ask you was, what are the mental and physical health benefits of laughing? So how does it actually change your body and kind of change the way your brain is wired when you do laugh and have a more playful attitude?
I like to see laughter as like a natural resilience, is that built-in resilience that we can tap into, because it's a natural stress reliever. So when we have a good laugh, it's like having a good cry. It's a way of our body releasing tension. And so, and that's kind of one of the main factors that people come to my classes, because they'll come in on their first class and they'll be really tense and quite stressed and maybe a bit anxious about what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they leave just vibrant and, you know, that's giggling awesome to themselves and kind of, wow, that was great, because they've allowed themselves to let go and really release with the laughter that stress. So that's something that I really love about it.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I mean, I talk to so many parents, like parents of like the friends of my children and some of the parents who are in my Facebook group, and that modern life is just so full of stress. Like there's the stress of getting the kids up in the morning and out with their lunches and making sure they've got everything they need with them. And then most parents have a job and you've got to keep the household going. And then like the parents in my Facebook group, they all have to work like supporting children through exams as well as running the house and hobbies and all this kind of thing. And I can tell quite a lot of the time that there's so much tension in their lives and so much stress. And like I was chatting to a mum the other day and she was just like, yeah, we just kind of just hold it together most of the time. And having that kind of release, I think so many of us are looking for. So I think what you're offering is just amazing.
So when you introduced me, you said about the forced laugh, like the fake laugh and the real laugh. And this is all about kind of choice and willingness. So it's not easy to just... it is very easy to just force a laugh, but sometimes it feels really unnatural, and it's when we really don't want to laugh that we need to laugh. And the great thing about laughter is, even if it's forced, it tricks your body into thinking it's real. So you could go ha 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 and your body starts to think that it's laughing, so it releases all the same endorphins as it would if it was laughing at something that's really funny. So that forced laughter then turns into a real laugh because you're tricking your body, and you just find that is such a release. And I think, there's a lot of stress for parents and for kids that are doing their exams. And I think if there was an ounce of kind of willingness to try these try just to kind of force a laugh, and you'll really see the benefits, because laughter is contagious. So if you kind of in traffic on the way to work or on the way to school, and you just go, then you'll end up giggling instead of getting upset or frustrated, or, you know, and you can start the day on a more kind of positive, in a more positive way, I suppose.
Okay, that's amazing. So I want to ask you, because I think quite a lot of time people do nervous laughs when they're in like social situations and they're not quite sure of themselves. So what's the difference between a fake laugh and a nervous laugh?
Fake laugh and a nervous laugh, that's a good question. Well, like I say, laughter is a natural stress reliever, so people might automatically be kind of nervously laughing because it's a way of them just releasing that stress, and maybe doing that subconsciously, not really thinking about it, but it is just the way of them kind of going, I'm a bit anxious about this, and relieving some of that anxiety. But yeah, it is interesting how You can tell if somebody's fake laughing,
yeah,
and you can tell if someone's nervous laughing,
or if they're happy laughing.
But it's interesting, I suppose. Yeah, it's a good question.
Okay, and I think it was interesting what you were saying there as well, because one of the things I often tell my students to do is it, when they're feeling stressed, like just if they're going into an exam, or if they're actually in an exam and they feel anxiety coming on, is to breathe deeply. And I've tried quite a lot of deep breathing through the yoga that I do and meditation, and it does have that effect of tricking your body into calming down and like slowing your heart rate and all that kind of thing. And it sounds like laughter works in a very similar kind of a way.
Yeah. So basically, when you laugh, you're pushing all of the air out of your lungs. It's the only time when your body is quite a natural thing to do, is you're pushing all of that air out of your lungs, and then you're refilling. So you're taking these gasps of air while you're laughing, you're refilling your lungs with fresh air and replenishing your lungs. So it really is it's a really good thing to do, and obviously you can't do it in the middle of an exam, but if you're stressed at any time and there's an opportunity to just have a laugh, it does the same as that kind of deep breathing, in the sense that you're replenishing your lungs.
Yeah. And
it's interesting you say that, because I, at the moment, I'm sort of researching panic and anxiety, and how it's really difficult when you're panicking or when you're anxious, I find sometimes, to do those deep breaths and to really focus on your breath, because the panic kind of roll away with the panic a little bit. And what's great about laughter is it kind of sits at the same level as anxiety, as in your body is reacting in a similar way. So all of the similar symptoms to panic and excitement. So if when you start to panic, you say you're excited, you can do the same thing. You can trick your body into thinking it's excited instead of panic. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's kind of like your body's overstimulated in some way. So
yeah,
and rather than being overstimulated by stress, which leads to anxiety, it's kind of overstimulated by excitement. So it's like just reframing how you look at the way your body's reacting to the situation.
And
like you talked about at the beginning, like if, with the piece of toast, if you've burned a piece of toast, you can actually decide to look at it in a positive way, or you can decide to look at it in a negative way. So it's all about your kind of outlook.
Yeah, definitely. It's about, it's your choice, isn't it? But it's also reminding yourself that you do have a choice, and encouraging that like willingness to try, because once you get going, I mean, me and my friends do it all the time. If something bad happens, like I came home and my friend, the fridge had just kind of fallen out on itself and everything was smashed, and she was getting really stressed, and we just started laughing, and I was saying, isn't it wonderful that the fridge just decided to, you know, basically like come out of the kitchen and everything smashed. Isn't it fabulous? It's really great. And we were sort of giggling to ourselves as we were sweeping it up, and it changed her kind of mood. It changed her reaction, and it's really powerful, because then it becomes a fun experience of like, can you remember when we were really, really laughing about the fridge, like that terrible fridge incident, and it cheers you up instead of annoys you.
Oh, you must be an amazing person to have around.
I don't know about that.
So what practical steps can the listeners do to bring more laughter into their own lives as parents and the lives of their children, their teenagers who are going through a stressful time at school?
I think a good place to start is a smile.
Okay.
And like laughter, a smile kind of changes your body. So it sends a message to your body that it's happy and to the brain that it's happy. And it naturally relaxes your face and makes you feel more relaxed. So if you're sat, that's a good thing to do if you're sat in an exam. Mm-hmm. Smile, because it will naturally relax you, and it's kind of a nice focus and a bit of a calming, right, I'm all right, I can do this. And then when it comes to the laughter, I mean one of the most simple exercises is kind of gradually laughing, so maybe laughing really quietly and then getting louder and louder and louder, and just starting by faking it. So ha 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 ha, and you know, that set you off, and it will set the people off around you. And
so, is it best to do it in a group, like with other people around, or should you be sitting in your bedroom on your own fake laughing?
You can do it whenever you like. I do it everywhere. I mean, it can be quite self-conscious if you're with people that might not understand it. Mm-hmm. So starting with yourself is a good place. Driving in the car, I often just fake laugh. When I find myself looking stressed, or I have this kind of brow that's really tense and tight, I will just start to laugh. But you can use it wherever fits really in your life.
I ever advise people to like have a stimulus, like, I don't know, read a joke book or watch a funny sitcom or listen to like a funny, like, satirical thing or something like that? Or do you just, or should it just come from you?
I mean, definitely that lightens the mood, doesn't it? When you're kind of listening to your favorite comedian or, something you like to watch that makes you laugh, of course that's going to make you feel better. But I think part of what I teach is that you really don't need that stimulus to laugh and to feel the benefits of the laughter. So you can quite literally start to laugh where you are right now and feel the benefits. And it's quite mad. Like, it might feel a bit strange, but you'll soon find that it's quite fun and really easy to do. And I think like getting kids on board with the exercises is great, because I mean, I had a mum that came to one of my classes, and mm-hmm. she was like, "This is brilliant. I'm going to use this with the kids." And apparently, the kids were arguing, and usually she'd kind of get angry and tell them off, and it'd be a kind of whole upheaval of upset, and she said, so the next time they did it, I just started laughing at them, and they didn't know what to do, and they ended up laughing with me. And she said it was wonderful, because a kind of quite negative incident turned into quite a nice positive one.
That sounds amazing. I must say, my little boy, he was probably four when it happened, but he had a major tantrum and we just laughed at him, and that didn't work at all. He just got cross and cross and cross. Maybe it works for teenagers, but not for 4-year-olds.
You have to get them on board. Get them on board with it.
Yeah, but I must say that like a happier mummy leads to happier children, and just being a smiley, happy mummy, I think, leads to a much more kind of relaxed and happy atmosphere in the house. And it's almost like you're leading with a smile, like, if you smile around the rest of your family. And the other thing I'd say is, my mum used to work in radio, and she always used to give the advice that even if you're incredibly nervous, smile, and then that will come through in your voice, like you're talking in a happy, more confident way than if you're like all stressed and frowny and everything. And I think, if anybody can smile in a stressful situation, it can kind of change the outlook, like we've been talking about. It kind of sends a signal to your body to react to it, everything in a more positive way.
Yeah. No, it is a really powerful tool. And even driving today, I used it when people kind of, you stop for them and they don't say thank you, I just smiled. Instead of getting upset about it, I just smiled, and then the people that are following are kind of smiling at me too, and it's contagious, and it's a lovely gift, a smile, and it makes you feel better.
For everybody, yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, that's my advice. I'd start by smiling. That's a good place to start, and then once you you can start chuckling, and then you'll be away with the laughter.
Brilliant. So we've talked a little bit about play already, I know it's really important. Like, intellectually, I know it's important to have play in my life, but I struggle to fit it in a lot of the time, and I don't prioritize it. And I know a lot of the students that I work with, they're so busy and they're so focused on their exams. Have you got any advice on how you can fit just a little bit of play into every day so that people kind of are happier and less stressed in all of their lives?
I think part of what I do in my workshops is I get people moving. Mm-hmm. Because when you kind of stand up and you start wiggling, and that's all you need to do, is start just wiggling your body.
Yeah.
You start to feel very present, and you can be quite playful, and you can dance around the kitchen and have a wiggle.
A dance break.
A nice dance break. And I like to encourage kind of people to say the word yes. So just really encourage, like, yes, 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 yes. And just kind of march around the kitchen saying yes, 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 and wiggling and giggling and just
generally being a little bit crazy.
Just doing it, just being a bit, yeah, just having a bit of fun, basically. And obviously that's a lot of fun when you're doing it with your best mate, but when you're doing it on your own, it's really fun, and
you can completely let go if you're on your own, can't you?
Yeah. And it's noticing when you're not feeling like that, where it's that when you bring it in, it's quite powerful. So if you're kind of sat with your shoulders hunched and you've been revising for hours and you're not getting anywhere with it and you feel really, really stressed, if you literally step out of that room into a new room and put the kettle on, and while the kettle's boiling, have a little bit of a wiggle, have a bit of a dance, and start saying, yes, I can, yes, I can do this, like, isn't this marvelous, you know, I love revising, and you'll suddenly change
yes.
the perspective of what's going on, and when you're happy and calm and settled and relaxed, you take in more information, you soak it up better, and you remember more things, and you can use play with revision as well, but I'm not a teacher, so I don't know how you do that, but kind of using playful things to
definitely and doing more active things and more creative things with your revision, because I think so many people think that revision is just about sitting down and making notes and like reading things over and over again with highlighters, and that is actually not the most productive way to revise. The more creative you can be with your revision and your learning, the better. And so that's more bordering on play than I think we typically think revision should be. So yeah, it's more engaging, it's more fun, it's more encouraging, and it's better for your learning.
Yeah,
and then if you can have a dance break on your revision break and give yourself some positive affirmations, like, yes, I can, like you've said, then yeah, you're going to be off to the races, really.
Definitely, and it doesn't take much. It's literally waiting for the kettle to boil. It takes time, that and it will change how you feel as well, just in that short time. But you have to be willing to do it. So if you're willing to try, then it's going to benefit you massively. If you're not, then you're not going to feel the benefits of it. And so it's really just kind of going, okay, I'm just going to give this a go.
Give yourself permission.
Yeah, exactly. Give yourself permission to play. Yeah, just allow yourself that small little snippet of time, and it doesn't need to be much, you know. And obviously, like, going outside and getting some fresh air is marvelous, but you know, if you don't feel like you've got the time to do that, a little wiggle, a smile, and to say yes, I can do this is gonna really boost your mood and relax you, I suppose.
Fantastic, that's so brilliant. I'm gonna be wiggling all over the place.
Yes.
You're based in Cornwall, is that right?
Yes, I'm down in Falmouth. Yeah.
So do you do all your workshops down in that part of the world?
I travel, so I go wherever I'm needed, basically. And I do inset days and workshops for teachers and workshops for all ages of students. And I'm kind of here, there and everywhere.
You go where you're needed.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah.
And more laughter could be had. So yeah. What happens in your workshops? What kind of thing do you do, like, other than get people to wiggle?
So we get people interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. It's kind of lost with the social media, and especially with kind of teenagers at the moment. Interacting with each other face to face is really
making eye contact.
Yeah, really important to kind of start playing with each other in real time, you know. And so I kind of generally start with a game, and then we'll kind of do a bit of a warm up and warm our bodies up, and kind of do a bit of wiggling and a bit of dancing. And I do everything from sort of role play to kind of just imagine that you're a piece of popcorn in a hot pan, and you kind of move around the pan and then you pop, and you know, and it's very energetic. We've got kind of lots of movement and
spontaneity.
Yeah lots of it's all directed by me, but it gives you, kind of hands over some creativity. So it's kind of delving into your imagination and using it like you're a child. And lots of people come out of my workshop and say, oh, I felt like I've been kind of playing with my sibling. That's the kind of feeling I feel right now, like that aftermath of a really good play. And we don't get that when we're adults, you know.
No, it's sorely missed, I think, in adult
life. Yeah, and then I kind of encourage a good old laugh at the end. We're all sort of lying down and kind of don't have to look at each other. We don't have that, we don't have to be self-conscious anymore. We can really let go and have a laugh. And then I'll move into a meditation. And I tend to use the mindfulness meditation stuff because it does work quite well with the laughter. It's kind of focusing on your body and being present and noticing how you feel at the start and how you're coming out of the workshop, how you feel, is always good. And then I like to kind of encourage like exercises around gratitude and being grateful for what's going on in your life. Because that's a really powerful thing to do as well. So just kind of thinking about things that you're grateful for, things that make you smile in your life right now, and noticing them and kind of just appreciating them for a minute. Because I think we tend to get wrapped up in what's not going right. And when we sit and think about all of the things that we have got, it's quite powerful.
It makes you feel a lot better. I've been keeping a gratitude journal for nearly a year now, and I'm writing it at the end of every day, and it definitely makes you finish the day on a positive note when you write down all the things that you're grateful for or pleased with at the end of the day. Right, just one last question. We've kind of touched on this a bit, but I just wanted to highlight, like, what happens when someone is particularly highly stressed? So some students that I work with quite frequently have panic attacks, and other parents report their children having meltdowns, for example, in the run-up to exams when they're really, really stressed and they just don't know how they're going to get everything done. So what do you do to bring on an emergency laugh, particularly if you're a parent intervening in a child having a meltdown like that? How do you bring on an emergency laugh just to kind of diffuse the situation, make everybody calm down and kind of get back to normal?
I think because I've suffered from panic before as well, so I know the symptoms and I know how scary it can be. And I think with a parent or a teacher managing a child that has panic, it's really about making sure that they know that they're okay. You're okay, and kind of making eye contact with them. This, you're okay, you're safe. And then really to encourage the laughter, I think, yeah, it is like an emergency laughter. So it is just about starting a forced laugh. But obviously it'd be useful if the student is aware of that to start with. But if they're not, maybe the teacher or the parent could just say, okay, I think we should just have a good old hearty laugh. And the way they start that would just be, it's just a chuckle,
and isn't it?
And you know, if you can start by just forcing a laugh and you learn those techniques for yourself, then naturally you'll pass them down to your children. And you know, if you're teaching a group of students and you're kind of using those techniques, then yeah, I mean, I think the benefit of that would be really good.
So do you think the main benefit in those really stressful situations comes from practicing it in advance, so that you've got it as part of your toolkit almost when the stress comes on?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is part of a toolkit. I mean, I suffer from panic attacks, and when I realised that the laughter worked with it, it was a revelation, because it really does change your experience of panic. And you know, when you start to panic, your palms get sweaty, your eyes might go blurry, your heart rate starts getting really fast, and it's quite scary, and it feels like you don't have control of your body. But if you tell yourself to laugh, it will change it. You then have the control. Your brain can't start rolling into these scenarios of, oh god, I can't do this, you know, meltdowns, like you said. If you start to laugh, all your body can think about is the laughter. So you really, it's having that willingness to try, and then it truly works. It's incredible. It's amazing. And it's talking about this, how panic and excitement are the same kind of symptoms in the body. You can really feel it. If you start to panic and you laugh, you know, it's the medicine. It is amazing.
It does sound amazing. I just, from your own perspective, you said you have suffered from panic attacks and the laughter had an incredible effect on it. Have you found that you're completely able to control those panic attacks with the laughter now?
Yeah. And this is the thing. So I'm 28 now, and I probably started suffering from panic when I was 13, 14. And you know, lots of people advise you to do these deep breaths and to calm yourself down. But it's hard for you to calm down when you're not feeling calm, when you're on this kind of level of you know, adrenaline, and everything's pumping and raring to go. And if you can say, I'm excited, this is exciting, and have a laugh, it's kind of I wish I had the words.
It's more powerful than the deep breath.
Yeah. It's easier to get to that state. It's easier to laugh than to breathe deeply.
It's almost like you're already in a hysterical state, but in a negative hysterical state. And so it's easier to revert to a positive hysterical state rather than a calm state. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's completely that. It definitely is. It's, they're at each end of the scale almost. They're quite similar, but the negative impact is really detrimental when you kind of change that. No, actually, instead of panic, I'm actually really, really excited. It's like your body chemistry is like, oh, okay, and your brain's like, oh, I must have got that wrong. I'm happy. I'm laughing. You know, I'm relaxed. It must work. You know, that must be what I'm doing. You know,
fantastic. Well, it just sounds like everybody could do with a little bit of you in their lives.
I don't know about that. I'm slightly
irritating. I think so.
Just so,
if people are interested in working with you, how can they find out more about you and like how to work with you?
Oh, so I'm called The Best Medicine. So that's what my business is called.
Okay.
And I have a website, which is thebestmedicine.co.uk. Quite simple.
Yeah.
And then on, I'm a Facebook person really. So I update my Facebook quite regularly, and that's The Best Medicine, and it's just Cornwall after. So that's how you'd find me. And then yeah, just drop me an email and have a chat. I do tailored workshops for kind of everything and anything really, and that's the great thing about it, is everyone can laugh. So you know, yeah. So
you can do anything for anyone to make their lives a little bit happier.
Yeah, I tend to. I can travel and run a workshop to fit your needs. Kind of, if you think, oh, I have an idea, just give me a ring or an email and have a chat with me about it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Katie Rose. I've just, you know, I've come out of this call so much happier than I started. So your magic has had its effect. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I really hope that episode lightened your mood. I know it made me laugh, and I went away feeling really empowered to have a laugh and a bit of a giggle whenever I need it, whenever it feels like life's getting a bit too serious or a bit too stressful or a bit too busy. So I hope it's empowered you in the same way. If you've got any questions or comments, please let me know. You can do that by leaving them on the show notes, which you'll find on my website, lifemoreextraordinary.com, and just find the tab that says podcast and just click on that, or post in the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook group. And if you're not already a member, please request to join, and we'll be more than happy to have you in there. Or finally, you can always send me a tweet, and my Twitter handle is @LucyCParsons. If you enjoyed the show, please also subscribe in your podcast app and leave a review, which you can do in the app or through iTunes on your computer. Every review helps to spread the word to more people who will find the show both interesting and helpful. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.